breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I thought I saw a girl brought to life.
Tuesday, race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com, an absolutely fabulous wall-to-wall Memorial Day, I hope for everybody, and when it came to the racing, well, it didn't disappoint. Unless, well, I let me modify that. It may have been disappointed here, there, or somewhere, I suppose, because, you know, betting was involved. And disappointment comes with with our game, right? It's something that is unavoidable. The highlights, though, and we'll get into quite a few of them. In fact, early in this hour, first guest of the day, actually, Michael W. McCarthy. Yeah, the three grade ones at Santa Anita, you know, certainly were going to be, you know, if not the focus, they were certainly a big part of, you know, the latter stages of the day. There was the carryover in New York, which we'll get to, Andy, of course, later in hour three. But, you know, sort of bridging the gap mid to late afternoon, was the start of the grade ones. And it started with that Hollywood Gold Cup. We'll talk to Michael. And, you know, we certainly don't root for small fields, you know, particularly in stakes. It seems to grind everybody's gears. However, if you look at this, at the sequence of, you know, weekends, weekend stakes at Santa Anita, you needed to be clever, because there were some upsets and prices that made the effort worthwhile. You know, a lot of people say, I don't have a rooting interest here, or, you know, I can't really bet this race. All right, which is fine. But there goes Harvard. And this one, absolutely terrific. This is a homebred for Cannon. And, you know, has been really a steady improver. This is one of those funny horses that took a long time to break its maiden. Four-year-old Will Take Charge out of the Fu Peg mare Soul Crusader. And the efforts since turning four, I mean, what have we talked about really since the beginning of the year, is the emergence on a regular basis of these four-year-olds. Here's a new one. I mean, certainly a horse, you know, that was starting to, I think, get on people's radar last summer, but then disappeared. We'll find out from Michael in just a little bit the other elements of the story. You know, what is notable is, you know, the race at Churchill where he dropped Tyler Gaffleone, you know, put the line through that. He's never been off the board. Never been off the board. I mean, I'll just forget that race last June. It's now what? Just take that away. So 11 starts, 4 wins, 5 seconds, and 2 thirds. A 100 buyer career best. There goes Harvard, and kind of a vintage approach with Arad Ortiz. I read, you know, settled early and saved some ground, and, you know, classic kind of inside out trip. 1960, just under 9-1, 1960. There goes Harvard. We'll find out more from Michael W., who also, you know, yesterday had mentioned that McCarthy had sent out that winner for the back racks, for Bert and Jane back rack at Churchill, Duvet Day. So nice weekend. There were quite a few people that had notable weekend, and particularly, I hope to catch up with George Papa Padromo. I reached out to George. I mentioned yesterday his upset with American Theorem in the triple bend, and Papa Padromo won two other allowances on that card Saturday. So big Saturday for him. And what did American Theorem pay close to $30, right, on Saturday? So there's another of the graded stakes. You know, Sunday and Monday were the graded stakes. And, I mean, count again for Phil D'Amato, who actually ran a – I just posted the Santa Anita weekend buyers, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all the, you know, the Calbred stakes as well. Count again. The awesome again, Gelding, now 7, turned in a career best. Errat Ortiz. And this was a case of slow early, fast late. And second choice, $7. Yeah, there was nothing. There was nothing in this case, and I'm sure that this will come up with Michael W. McCarthy as well, because Smooth Like Straight is who Count Again overhauled, and he was 2-5, which seemed a little aggressive. But there was nothing Pratt could do. Errat Ortiz breezes on by with the Sam Sun awesome again. And one of the fun things about this horse and a few of the Sam Suns that are getting longer in the tooth, and it'll be the Count Again was in the Agave Silks, but you know, those familiar yellow and red Samsung colors, when they disappear, it'll be a sad day for the game. But Count Again was bred to Count to 3. Red Ransom mare. It's fun to see Red Ransom on a pedigree. You know, there's certain broodmare sires in particular that, you know, they're going to start to disappear. Slowly but surely. So Count Again, a non-favorite, winning the second grade one, the Shoemaker Mile. And, of course, this is a win and you're in, as mentioned Friday with Jim Gluckson. And then the third grade one, which came at the to close out the day and really in a lot of ways the weekend, Ocean Road, that came up also on Friday. And I had texted Brendan Walsh while we were on the air and to confirm that he was shipping, and he said, oh yeah, and then you found out why. Umberto Rispoli aboard, and Ocean Road, Ocean Road kind of dawdled coming out and, you know, made slow, steady progress and then gets past going to Vegas. The Phil D'Amato ran 2-3 in here, and actually maybe we'll talk to Phil. But Brendan Walsh has just been, assassinating, you know, big spots, and sends out this Australia filly, 4-year-old, for Qatar Racing. That's her third start in North America, and of course, second win after the allowance. I think we talked to Brendan about Ocean Road at that time. Showed up first North America, not first North America, but seasonal debut, let's say, because she had competed in the Breeders' Cup last year. And Ocean Road clearly is a player here. So she... modest fig, 93, I think I posted, right? Was it 93? Let me go look. 93, I believe. So, yeah, 93 buyer. So a little, not as important, obviously, for turf races, but just as a at a glance, 5-1, paid $12.20. And when it came to the force out yesterday of the Rainbow, you had, you know, pretty straightforward middle portion. You had that maiden claimer for Michael and Don Alberto, the $100,000. I love those. The $100,000 maiden claiming race. Yeah, the Vancouver filly, Isolo Mia, even money, and you had a 2-1 Sean McCarthy, who's getting his share of wins. McCarthy, if you haven't noticed, with the Baffert runners that have come his way, a maiden breaker on a Tapizar. This a Pegram, Watson, and Whiteman. Colt debuted under Flavian Pratt, 2-1, and also 2-1 on Mubtada. Vladimir Sarin for the Wilsons, Holly and David. This is a Shadwell bred, you can tell by that name, and then redistributed. So you had, you know, very, and also there was also that the Warren horse. For Craig Lewis. Yeah, Warren's Queen B was 3-2. So you had really just two somewhat tricky, you know, count again, unless you singled smooth like straight, and I'm sure some people did, you know, tried to get through there cheap. But if you included the second choice, count again, and then if, you know, if you feared and recognized that Brendan Walsh was quite serious in shipping Ocean Road out. And, you know, you do wonder, I got to mention this, you do wonder, it's a six-horse field, it's a grade one for 400,000. And, yes, there's, you know, we've got a grade one, you know, this is a mile and an eighth, we've got opportunities coming up in New York, but still, a big opportunity, right? So, anyway, all right, Brendan Walsh, strikes like Thunderball. George Papapodromo is going to join us this hour, too. So in about 10 minutes, Michael W., MWM, and then George Papapodromo. So that'll be fun. There's a quick overview of the grade ones. The rest of the action we'll get to. The carryover in New York, which was, you know, going fairly, you know, fairly straightforward and Everything was moving along smoothly until the fifth leg. Yeah, that curveball came from Tom Morley with Ocala Dream, who was far from impossible. However, was sitting, if you're a Third Graph user, absolutely had it, one of those, you know, Third Graph patterns that you could see was going to make a forward move, but it just didn't feel like a forward move in that spot was going to be enough, but it was, and ran absolutely fabulously well, and that shook things up, and it only got worse from there, because, right? Yeah, here's Ocala Dream at 17-1 with Javier Castellano. So if that didn't, you know, bury you in the carryover, and they bet nice. It was even more. We said 400,000. It was over 500,000. Nick and I, you know, kind of guessing. But then Silken Dollar for Shaz. How about Rick Schosberg, $30 winner, 14-1 under Saez. And just held off Sinfully Sweet, who actually was a terrific value. Was 15-2, and I mean, would have paid well had she won. But Silken Dollar for Bruce Lunsford, and nice that Bruce sending horses to Shaz, and David York, a partner with Bruce Lunsford on Silken Dollar. So maiden breaker in the nightcap and $91,000 payday. The 20-cent rainbow paid just under 900. I saw some people attacked it, you know, very narrow and from, you know, from multiple times. You know, people played it for $2 and 250 and more. So congratulations to anybody that hit. Ocala Dream buried me. And actually, in some ways, isn't it better to get knocked out in that fifth leg? because if I'd been live into the nightcap and wanting Sinfully Sweet, although I think I only went too deep. In the, I was looking for, I think I only went too deep on that on my ticket. But at least that way it wasn't, you know, it was only slightly less agonizing. All right, speaking of agonizing, some sad news overnight, a couple of sad news items. And we'll start actually with the, you know, the much more human, sad item. And Catherine Ramsey passed away yesterday at 83. And send out our deepest sympathies to Ken Ramsey and the extended family. The lady that launched a thousand kittens, and I'll take the over. Yeah, kitten, and just as lovely a person. Just and you know, these last what 10 plus years, maybe even a little bit longer, after having, you know, suffered a stroke, but always, you know, always out at the races, and always welcomed, a welcome sight, and the family so attentive, Ken and everybody. So thoughts to the whole family. The details include a visitation on Thursday evening at Kerr Brothers on Harrodsburg Road and in Lexington, and then Friday actually at Knox Funeral Home in Barberville. And then the funeral will be Saturday at 2 o'clock. There'll be a noon to 2 visitation, and this is at East Barberville Baptist on East Barberville. Actually, take that back. It's in East Barberville, Barbersville, on old Route 25, across the internment across the street. So I'm not sure we'll get back to this later. And tributes and appreciations pouring in to pay tribute to Kath Ramsey. The other piece of news overnight, a fire at Suffolk, and it couldn't have started too long after the end of the simulcast evening. I think they went till 6:30 or 7. And the thing, apparently, and from what we, you know, it's a little too early to have too many details, but apparently, starting in the press box area, and I checked with Lou Raffetto, and Lou says that the simulcast equipment, and certainly, you know, you can conceive of an electrical fire starting that way. Lou says that the simulcast equipment is in that area, and so from what we've been told, this was contained pretty well to the press box area, and we'll see, you know, as they survey the damage and we find out. I mean, obviously, this is going to this. You would imagine will bring an end to the, you know, the simulcasting side of things as they wait essentially at Suffolk for the, you know, for the land, for the property to be developed. Awfully sad. You know, we went. That closing weekend, then of course that Saturday, the rain, oh my God, you know, ruining the, you know, part of the last part of the card. Well, the best part, the good news of that day was that they got the Bill Perry race in. That at least, that was a a saving grace of an otherwise just very tough. The idea that there's no no racing at all in New England, and certainly players and fans come here, come to Saratoga, and they've been doing that forever. But I mean, to have a market that as active and as vibrant as New England was, with between Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and then the fair circuit, to be completely without is difficult to kind of accept, to be honest. Well, and there's still, there still are some thoughts and potential for an equine sport facility in the Boston area. That Sturbridge plan apparently isn't happening, but there's other irons in the fire. So Michael W. McCarthy is going to join us, and if I get anything else from East Boston, we'll let you know. Keeping an eye, of course, on Belmont as well. And yesterday, one of the highlights wasn't one of the races of the day, but the Derby winner put on a show between the 5th and 6th at Churchill, and was certainly quick, and even a little sharper than he had been in his final workout leading into Derby, which, of course, could have easily been a prep for the Peter Pan, but turned out to be the Kentucky Derby, and it turned out pretty successfully. So he seems ready to fire, and I know a lot of people are going to be lined up to bet against Rich Strike in the Belmont, but here's somebody that has been on the team when Belmont wins were happening. Michael W. McCarthy joins us on the heels of the Hollywood Gold Cup win yesterday, and Michael, congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Michael, I was almost ready to call you anyway, even without this win, because there was also what you did for the back racks at Churchill, Duvet Day. But let's talk about this horse, who is obviously emergent. There goes Harvard, a Will Take Charge, who took a while to break his maiden and still seems to be improving.
He's a horse that showed like he would run as far as they would write races, and of course he come back off of a little layoff and seemed like he was sharp, and this year added kind of a newer dimension, acting like he could successfully dirt or turf. We knew this was a small field. Sometimes you just got to take a shot.
And that actually, I think if you look up and down the weekend, there were enough good performances with that kind of approach in mind. We're going to talk to George Papapodromo as well, who turned back American Theorem, and he ends up catching the triple bend as well. So let's talk about the development here, if we can, Michael. Since he's come back as a 4-year-old, he really took a quantum step forward.
That's a pretty good assessment.
Bring us to back to the beginning when you got him, and as what he takes seven starts to break his maiden.
took a little time to kind of figure it all out with them. We shipped them back east, figured some of the more opportunities at adding furlong races. You know, on Derby Day, he actually ran a mile and a quarter that day, opened up a huge lead around the turn and into the stretch, and only get nabbed inside the 16th hole. That's some pretty rapid fractions that day, but I never had any question as to, you know, him being able to handle the rod of ground like that yesterday. There's a horse that just shows up. He just tries every time. He loves to run. That was, you know, three races in basically 6 weeks and change. He'll get a little bit of a break now until the middle of Del Mar or early in Del Mar or wherever we choose to go. But, you know, it's nice to have a horse like him. It's new on the scene and it's getting better. There'll be some races later on in the year that'll be tailor-made for him. And it's a division that seems like it's getting a little bit weaker instead of stronger. That's not our problem. We'll capitalize on it, on whatever we can.
You know, and when you say about writing, you know, as long as they write races, you gave a hint when you ran him a mile and a quarter that was in his DNA, that you foresaw that this was a classic distance horse.
Very much so. Will Take Charge out of a Fusaichi Pegasus mare. Will Take Charge has been a little bit under the radar. Fusaichi Pegasus, everybody knows, you know, what his resume was like and what his reputation was like. This horse has got stamina, you know, loads of stamina, and it's working to his advantage.
Well, I suppose the Pacific Classic figures and so forth. What a nice win this is for the Cannon team too. And boy, you came very close to having a pair of Grade One wins for them yesterday.
Yeah, I certainly expected to win a Grade One yesterday. I wasn't sure it was going to be the Hollywood Gold Cup, but you know, I thought Smooth Like Straight, obviously. Showed up again, even though he was beaten. It took a little bit of gamesmanship to get it done. Obviously, a pace setter in there, 22-3, I think 45-2, and we were hooked right alongside of him. It's kind of hard to kind of keep up those demanding fractions. I think they went three quarters and nine and change, you know, 132-3. That's about as fast as a horse race can go. Yeah, a little bit of a tough beat. I think Fabian had that one to do over, I think he would like that. But what are you going to do? Of course, got beat.
Well, the nice part is when you win the first opportunity, it's sort of no matter what happens later. You know, even though you would have loved to have you know, annexed the Shoemaker, it was a win and you're in. There'll be plenty of opportunities, and he's a horse that always shows up.
Yeah, I mean, I can't be doing too much complaining. We won the race prior with similar tactics. They went out there and went, you know, 46-1 for a half mile, going a mile and a quarter. I was certainly licking my chops when I saw that. Little did I know that 30 minutes later I'd be on the receiving end of that, you know. that's to say I'm on the wrong end of that, but that happens, and, you know, we lost the battle. I think at the end of the year, I think we'll be just fine.
There you go.
I have a lot
exactly.
of fun.
You know, I got to ask Michael, too. We didn't touch on Arad Ortiz being involved in There Goes Harvard's win.
One of those things that just kind of fell into my lap. Steve Rushing had mentioned to me that he was coming out on the 30th. And knowing that it was going to be a small field in there, if you can get someone like Irad on a day like that, it's one of those things you have to do. I had mentioned it yesterday. In no way was that a slight to Diego Herrera. He had ridden the horse a few times, worked the horse a few times, got a couple wins on him. Diego's a young man who seems like he's going in the right direction. But the stars aligned yesterday. Irad was very good. He sensed that they were, you know, smoking the front, as we like to say. And things worked out our way.
Exactly.
Anytime you can get an Ortiz, whether it be Jose or Irad, you've got to take it.
That is not a bad maxim to live by.
Definitely not.
You know, Michael, we should mention, and because when I talked about his win at the top of the show, I didn't really talk about the turf. I did say that other than him dropping Tyler Gaffalione in that race last June at Churchill, he's never missed the board. But it is notable that he's also, you know, he's got two wins and a second in three tries on the grass.
My original plan was to go for the American on the 19th. I think he'd have been awfully tough in there as well. But, you know, like I said, it's nice to have a horse that can be a threat on both surfaces. Hopefully we pick our spots going forward here the rest of the year and have some fun. But all credit goes to the horse, really.
Well, you've had plenty to do with it, and this is a nice, I think, for Cannon Thoroughbreds, I think this is their first grade one on the main track.
First grade one on the main track. Last year, obviously, winning the Shoemaker, the Smooth Like Straight, coming so close a couple other times, but hopefully it's not their last grade one win on the main track this year.
Well, this is a will take charge, and getting a grade one like this, and talk about it for you too, winning a Hollywood Gold Cup. I'm sure the only thing that would have made it better was if it was at Hollywood.
Yeah, that certainly would have made it better. A prestigious race to win. These are the kind of races that you want on your resume. We've tried a couple of times before. Ran City of Lightmare, finished third 1 year. Rushy, a couple years ago, I believe, was third in there as well. Nice to lead one over that can finally get the job done. Another one to put on your resume, as I said. But, these mile and a quarter races, obviously, the way the breeding game is going and speed is what everybody wants these days. There's still, you know, big races out there, prestigious races out there for horses that want the classic distance, and I think it's important that we cultivate and embrace them, you know. Tough to see, it was only a 5-horse field yesterday, but as I said, that's not my problem.
Well, one other thing before we talk about the win at Churchill for the Backracks. Talk about Michael Cannon and what's gone on with their operation, because Michael, it feels like you've made a real difference for the Cannons, and I kind of read that, you know, they may have kind of given up the game, and certainly their association with you has been mutually successful.
I hope they don't give it up anytime soon the way they're going, but no, it's been just a great partnership, and they've become great friends too. We speak often. Families get together during the summers and things like that.
Nice.
You know, Michael put a lot of money into the game. He's made a conscious effort to upgrade his broodmare band and his breeding to, you know, top stallions, stallions to get runners. He's got Kathy Berkey that does a lot of his bloodstock work for him. Homer Raider at Columbiana Farm raises these horses, and that might be the key ingredient there, is that land at Columbiana is very good, and they raise, you know, very tough, very, very rugged racehorses, and that's what it takes. But I'm glad that all the Cannons are enjoying this. Michael's father, Robert, is a huge supporter of the game. They donate to a lot of Backstretch Charities, Gregson Foundation, things like that. Michael Cannon himself is a huge supporter of Special Forces, you know, Special Forces, retired Special Forces soldiers. Does a lot for their charities and that. So to win a race like that on Memorial Day, I'm sure that was maybe it was meant to be.
There you go. We get a lot of that. That was like A.J. Foyt winning on Sunday on the 45th anniversary of his fourth Indy 500 win. It's the kind of thing that
the
headlines.
Right, yeah.
The headlines write themselves.
Who did win the Indy 500?
You know what? You asked that. I got to look it up. I wasn't paying attention. We had the kids here, the grandkids. Marcus Erickson.
Not exactly a household name for me, but great American sporting event. Is Marcus Erickson an American?
It's been years since I followed this. To be honest, I used to love it years ago. I when I was a kid, and A.J. Foyt and Andretti and you know that era, and the Unsers. I loved it, but no, I can't tell you much. However, we did reach out. I've reached out to A.J. Foyt, so if we can get A.J. We'll have all those questions answered. I have to ask you about winning for the back racks too. Speaking of elite clientele, that roster gets bigger and better all the time, Michael.
Yeah, that was nice. We've had that really for about 6 months. Duvet Day. It just goes to show this, as I mentioned earlier, that added furlong seemed to work out in her favor. The back racks have been longtime supporters of California racing. This filly landed in Kentucky to run a Keeneland in an added furlong race, and we just decided since she was back there to go ahead and keep her back there. A big performance by her. And it's still kind of a late maturing 3-year-old, so it's fun. And Bert and Jane were obviously excited, as was their partner, Dr. Schatz. So, you know, it's exciting. Hopefully we can get a nice horse for him and keep on developing her and see where she takes us.
Really nice. And if I'm not mistaken,
maybe I can get front row seats at the next Burt Bacharach concert.
Well, I think it was his birthday in the last week or two. I think I saw
him playing concert in Del Mar. He did a benefit at Del Mar with Elvis Costello. Amazing man. I mean, the stories he told that night were incredible. But I don't mean to make this sound like the Johnny Carson show.
Oh, it's great. I love it. Let me ask you about two of the stake stars in the barn. We got to ask about Queen Goddess, a good second in the Santa Barbara, and, of course, CC, last seen in the Apple Blossom. Give us an update, Michael.
Queen Goddess is going to get the summer off, put some weight on, freshen up, and look for a late fall, early winter campaign. It's, you know, hopefully some bigger and better things for her in her 5-year-old year. Looking forward to her getting back and jumping up into some of these grade one caliber races as a 5-year-old. CC worked a half mile in 47.4 here the other day. And we'll probably put a soft surf around something like the Princess Rooney.
Very nice. I do want to ask about Law Professor, who seems... I don't want to say MIA. What do we know?
Didn't have the best of it here in the kill row, and then just decided to go ahead and freshen him up. He's a horse that strings a couple of good races together and an ugly one or two, and when that happens, it's best to just go ahead and back off of him and let him recharge and get in the right headspace, and hopefully he'll be back here, you know, later this summer.
Very good. I do want to also ask about two starters coming up this week. And on Thursday at Churchill and Friday, Thursday, you've got Pistol in a claimer with Rene Diaz and then Awfully Naughty on Friday with James Graham.
I think both horses came with a better than a puncher's chance. Pistol kind of found her friends the other day in a maiden claiming event. He's come back and trained well at Churchill Downs. Usually when you break your maiden for, the theory is if you break your maiden for 20, you run him back for 10, but this filly has seemed to train well out of her maiden win and take not so much a step up in class, but, facing winners, and we'll see how she fares, but filly's training very well. Awfully Naughty hit a little bump in the road there earlier in the spring and kind of got off track with him. Would prefer to run him a little bit farther than a mile and a 16th. We had entered a time or two in a mile and a half race, and the race didn't go, so we just need to get him back in the gate. A horse that shows up every time. He's a $4,000 two-year-old purchase that's made, easily $100,000 in about 8 starts. So we'll get him started here and look for some added furlong races a little bit later on during the summer, and I think he is cut stakes caliber. At a mile and a 16th, that might be a bit swift for him, but anything a mile and an eighth and beyond, he should be pretty tough.
Well, the Michael W. McCarthy Barn, MWM Racing on Twitter, things going great. Grade one win, the Hollywood Gold Cup, one of those resume-type victories. And, Michael, I always appreciate the visit, continued success. And I think we'll see you at some point, right? We're going to see you come east a little bit as we get closer, Saratoga?
Yeah, we'd like to certainly.
A couple of things lined up?
Yeah, certainly did. Anytime you can show up back, you're doing something right. So it'd be great to be able to get back there and maybe have a run or two at Saratoga this summer.
Outstanding. Michael McCarthy, everybody. Michael, thanks so much.
Guys, I appreciate it.
Not at all. Michael W. McCarthy, everybody. And a few big wins and a couple nice horses, clearly, that are waiting in the wings. And speaking of the waiting in the wings portion this hour, John Sadler is going to join us after the top of the hour, but George Papa Padromo. Too long. And that American Theorem is a horse that we always kind of liked. And I thought this was very clever the way he turned him back. And we're suckers for turnbacks. I mean, that's one of the one of the angles that you look for. So I'm anxious to hear from George, and he had a terrific day because he won two others as well. Bruce Kretz and a win like this, and I don't, let me go back to the figs. See, 97 buyer. So he knocking on the door, career best for him. But this was a horse that, you'll recall, got grade one placing early on. And he's really on a nice, steady, steady beat right now. He had a couple of, a couple of layoff lines early on as a three-year-old. And, here he is now as a five-year-old. And he's a Ridgeling. An American Pharoah, obviously, and out of Mighty Renee, Sierra Farm. This was a horse that was certainly bred to be nice, and getting a win like this, to go with his grade one placing at two, kind of nice. And, Ridgeling issues, I'm curious from when we talked to George about that portion of the story, if that's contributed at all to, that portion where, he only made one start as a three-year-old. And, since he's come back late in the four-year-old year, when he showed up at Del Mar in November, nice, steady, back in the swing of things. So, a huge win. And the other two, I think I've got. Let me look at. Let me go back to Sunday's charts and see if I've got. I do. There we go. Balladeer broke the maiden for George as well. And I think we've got him now. George Papapodromo joins us. George, congratulations. American Theorem, the turn back works to an absolute T. You take the triple bend. Well done.
Thank you.
You know, this horse, I was sort of, as I was waiting for Casey to get you on the line, this is a horse that showed quality right away as a two-year-old, and it's kind of taken a while. You've tried different things. Talk about his career to this point.
Well, since we bought the horse, we always liked him and believed in him and all that stuff. You know what I mean? He showed us in Delmar when we got him in and all that. Like, he was training great. He's one of the horses that we were looking forward to, you know, so that hopefully the Kentucky Derby and all that stuff. But, he broke his maiden. He came back. We ran a good second in the American Thoroughbred Stakes. And after that, he kind of got a little hurt with his shins, and we backed out of it. And then, we just had a little issues back and forward with his shins. And we just, unfortunately, we just kind of like, you know, we were dealing with the shins all this time. And we've been kind of like running him in, we just pretty much right now, he came to his, he's pretty much strong right now, and then he's doing well, and then shins are holding pretty good, and we're looking forward. Hopefully, we can win a few more races with him.
Well, and I imagine that off of this win and turning him back to the 7/8, you've tried a few different things, including the synthetic when you went to Turfway in April. You ran him long on the dirt, obviously, but maybe this is what he wanted to do all along.
Yeah, that's another thing too. I mean, we tried to run him long too after coming back up every time his shins were bothering him. And he kind of had some quick fast paces, like, going long, and he kind of got tired at the end and all that stuff. So then we decided to try to synthetic a little bit, maybe the turf after that, obviously the dirt, it wasn't good for us, for his shins or whatsoever, but that didn't work out either. So I just kind of decided to shorten him up a little bit before I go to the turf, So, he worked out perfect the other day, actually, and I think he might be a nice 70 mile, might be his distance right now, I think. I don't think he can go further than that, maybe. Could, but I'm just saying.
Got to fold Joe Bravo into the equation, because Joe really positioned him well. And this was an exciting, for those that didn't see the race on Sunday, the fourth at Santa Anita, and they put on a hell of a show. And both he and Kyle Fry on Principe Carlo, neither really wanted to relent. And there was almost nothing separating them at the wire.
Yeah. Joe gave him a great ride. I mean, we kind of sat down, pretty much talked about the race, and then, the race came as we planned it, So, but Joe did, he did a great ride. I mean, he just sat right off and pretty much saved ground the first part, and then swing him out at the quarter pole, and just went, let him do the rest. But, like I said, he just gave him a great ride, great finish at the end, and we're winning the race. He gave him a great ride.
Well, we know that Bruce Kretz and the Kretz Racing, your big client, and you've good. What percentage of your horses are for Kretz?
I'll say 50% of Kretz is 50%. I'll say right now, or maybe more, a little bit more than that. Yeah, 50% are Kretz's.
Nice, and you've. You really, as long as I've George, as long as I've seen you in the entries, yeah. you and Bruce Kretz.
Yeah, I mean, we've been together for nearly 10 years now. Yeah, 10 years, probably more, maybe. Yeah, 10 years. I mean, I couldn't have any better honor than Kretzis. I mean, if it wasn't for him, pretty much I wouldn't be here right now. So he's, you know, one of those guys. I mean, he's a smart guy, great guy. What can I say? He's like my brother. He's just like, you know, great guy. And to train for and then, like, you know, he just lets you do your job. And, you know what I mean? Obviously, sometimes sure. I don't want his opinion. And he's like... you know, I'll bring him a couple of options out there, and he said, okay, I'll kind of like to do this. Okay, do it. You know what I mean? So he won't even tell me, like, no, that's like it, you know? That's like, he just lets me do my thing. So it's just crazy. I mean, I couldn't have any better than Kretzis. I mean, he's great. I mean, you know, I like all my owners, too. They're all great, too. But, I mean, for Kretzis, I mean, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here right now. So he's the one that kind of, like, kept me going pretty much. Yep.
We should fold in. I mean, Saturday or Sunday, I should say, George. That has to be one of your best days. I mean, and it's funny because you've won multiple races like this before, and fairly recently. But you know, two other wins and allowances and the stake makes for a very special day.
Yeah, it was a great day. It was a great day. Yeah, especially winning the big one with American Serum. Yeah, it was a great day. It was good. Yep. Those days don't come that easy. You know what I mean? Often. So, yeah.
Exactly. Tell me about Balladeer. $26 winner. This was the maiden win for Calvin Wynn and Joey Tran.
Yeah. Like I said, I just barely got those horses. And, you know, I'm just trying to learn more about them and all that stuff. But credit to Richard Baltus. Pretty much he did the job, you know what I mean? He had them ready and all that stuff. So he was, you know, but I just barely got him. So I don't know much about him. But, yeah, I mean, he ran a good race too, so.
Well, and how's that going to work from what you can tell? Are you just going to hang on to them until things are figured out?
Exactly. And see what you think figured out with him. Yes, correct. Yeah. So at the meantime, I'm training the horses and all that. So yeah, and we'll just see what happens with Richie, and then we go from there.
Very good. Well, what you know, you said 7 furlongs to a 1-turn mile, and obviously it's too quick of a turnaround to think about something like the Met. But what's out there?
I mean, the plan is Delmar. Yeah, pretty much Delmar. That's the plan. Maybe the Bill Costi or the Pat O'Brien or whatever. You know what I mean? That's what I'm thinking. But as we go. But yeah, but you never know. I'm just taking it day by day with him. And, you know, like I said, I mean, he's a great horse. And then we're just, you know, just taking it day by day with him. And we'll go from there.
I love it. George, how do you fix for 2-year-olds? When are we going to start to see the babies?
And 2-year-olds, yeah. I mean, yeah, I got start bringing 2-year-olds in right now in my barn. Pretty much already have like around 8 2-year-olds in my barn right now, and I got a couple like 10 more to come in. So we're getting them in right now and starting getting ready for pretty much for Delmar. I'll probably run my first one in Delmar. Yeah. So.
Well, to have a horse like American Theorem that you started out early as a 2-year-old, and you know here he is, you know, still just maybe fulfilling his potential. Out of curiosity,
yeah,
him being a Ridgeling, George, has that caused any problems over these 3 years?
I don't think so. I mean, there's a lot of horses being ridden. Yeah, I don't think so. Some horses, you know, they bother them, some don't, but it depends where they, you know, the other ones, how far back in, you know, if he bothers him or not.
Sure.
But I didn't see any signs of him bothering him or, you know, by, you know, running, by, you know, training or whatsoever. So I think, yeah, we're good.
Let me also finish up and ask about the other two stake runners from the weekend. Sterling Crest was fourth in the Honeymoon on Sunday, and Thrump's Dream yesterday in the Gamely. What's next for them?
I don't know yet. Like I said, I barely got the horses. We got to talk to the owners and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm just waiting on Richard to see what happens with his case and all that stuff. And then, like I said, we're just going to go from there at the meantime. So that's where we at.
Very good. And you did have that maiden winner that came back last, I think it was it on Friday? The horse that... the cowbred, Ghostum.
Oh, Ghostum, yeah. I mean, she got a tough beat the other day. She got caught right on the wire, yeah. But she won the previous race, so that's
right.
The one you're talking about?
She broke the beginning of May.
Correct, yeah. No, she's a nice filly, cowbred filly. And then we ran it right afterwards. We ran it once again last week, and then she barely got beat on the wire. I mean, she, you know. But, yeah, she's coming to be an okay filly, actually. I mean, you know, she's improving as well. So she's doing good.
She's a shaman ghost out there standing on the West Coast. George, always fun to catch up with you, and just delighted. Right. American Theorem. We've been following him since his two-year-old year, and this was a very, very clever maneuver. Good job.
Thank you, sir. You got it. Thank you.
Thanks, George. George Papapodromo and American Theorem's win in the Triple Bend. Very nice win for Bruce Kretz. And, you know, it just shows you to be patient and, you know, you try different things and you get rewarded when it works. And there's no more potent maneuver than those turnbacks. All right, we're going to turn back for hour two. John Sadler, who also had a terrific weekend. Not only did John win a couple of stakes at Santa Anita, but also a winner at Lone Star last night. We haven't talked about the Lone Star action, the Ouija board and the Texas Derby, and also that Steve Sexton mile. Nice night for the Asmussen Barn and Stewie Elliott. They took three. They also won the Memorial Day Sprint earlier on the card. But in the Ouija board, that Park Avenue of Sadler, King Ottoman in the Texas Derby for Asmussen, and then Silver Prospector, who, you know, was a interesting price. It got bet down, though. I think it was 12-1 morning line and ended up around 6-1. But Silver Prospector in the Steve Sexton. And then the other two stakes while we're doing this. Chamberlain Bridge was Brett Calhoun. There you go. Perfect. XS Magic, the Magician. And Raylu Gutierrez. And then in the Spitestown, Sean Davis. It makes sense. Majestic Warrior wins the Spitestown. So, and I haven't seen the results. I've got to see the. Let me look for while we're on the break. Let me see if I can't find the contest results from yesterday, as well. So, there it is. Hour one, weekend recap. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start when the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research.